Hello and welcome to another edition of the WNBA Super Show. I am your host, Walter Waddell, a.k.a. WDeuce85, joined as always by my man, Pete, the man that never takes days off. He's been grinding MLB for you guys. He does pretty much every sport possible. We love him for it. He's going to be joining us on this WNBA grind. Lots of information to cover on day one. Pete, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well. Getting ready for this first slate. It's going to be crazy because there's a lot of people out. There's people out I thought were actually playing that I'm finding out are out now. So, like you said, it's going to be first week or so. It's going to be paying attention at lock and seeing who's in, who's out, who's in Europe, who's hurt. But it's going to give us an edge.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have a fairly big edge simply because, you know, some of the other sites that have been around a long time are choosing not to cover it, not provide, you know, projections or content of any kind for WNBA. So that knocks out a lot of, you know, people that would just lift info straight from them. So that's going to help us because I still think that with the rising popularity of WNBA, I mean, the ratings for the draft were at an all-time high. They were showing, you know, high ratings last summer. Of course, it was in the bubble, COVID, all that. I think casually people are going to be coming over and playing. So we're going to have a lot of edge here simply because, you know, we're going to be providing stuff in our premium Discord. Today it's Freebie Friday, so that information will be free. If you're still thinking about, you know, joining, you'll get to see what kind of content we provide. But, we'll be posting starter news, any, you know, scratches, all that stuff in our Discord. So that'll definitely make you a better player and give you all the best possible information to make that best possible lineup the optimal, if you will, against everyone else, whether you're playing cash or, you know, GPP. We're going to go game by game here. We'll give you the odds on each game, talk about who's out crucially for each team, you know, basically what's going on right now. Some people are being tagged with a temporary suspension label, and all that means is they're either here from overseas or they're still coming over and they haven't finished their quarantine, you know, protocols just yet. So some of them, you know, Natasha Howard for Liberty and a few others, they're going to be missing this first game or two. So that's a mega edge, just knowing, you know, who's going to be filling them in, and even going beyond what the projected starting lineup might be. This would be somebody off the bench or a rookie, or, you know, maybe we read something in an article that says this player is going to play, you know, big minutes. So this first slate's definitely going to be fun because we're going to see a lot of smaller rotations, which are going to be great. So with that being said, we'll dive in here. We'll circle back around. If anybody has any questions that's listening live, go ahead and pop those in the WNBA room of our Discord. But first game we're going to talk about here, Indiana versus New York. Odds on it right now, New York -125. They're actually favored. Total on that's 157.5. It has the lowest total of the slate, which I'm a bit surprised about. I thought maybe it would be a little bit higher. For the Fever, big news came out yesterday. YFC favorite Julie Alamand, who was always underpriced last year and did us very well, she's actually on the suspension list for the whole year. And that's just their designation. Doesn't mean she did anything bad, but she has overseas commitments. I believe it's from Finland or somewhere thereabouts. So the Olympics are going to be this summer as well. So you're seeing there's going to be a mid-season break for WNBA, I believe, for that. But some of the players who do play primarily overseas or from another country won't be playing this season. So Alamand is one that's choosing to sit out the WNBA season to train and play for her team overseas. So those commitments with the Olympics. Major loss for the Fever. We expected her to make, you know, major strides this season. She was, you know, starting point guard, even though they added Danielle Robinson as kind of a veteran backup. Not having her is going to definitely hurt. That means their rookie that they some called a bit of a reach, who they took at number four, Kizray Grondasik. She's definitely going to be thrust into a large role, probably immediately. You look at her on DraftKings, she's just 5.5K. She's definitely somebody who I think for this first slate, unless I'm running multiple lineups, I probably won't use in my cash games just because I want to see what her role's ultimately going to end up looking like. But she does make sense as a fantastic GBP play at the 5.5. There's a lot of mispricing here on DraftKings. There's some players that are way too cheap. So I think that, you know, a normal slate, her price and would be like an auto play kind of thing. But because there is some other options that we're going to talk about, she's simply just, you know, not somebody that you have to roll with. Now, we do have some cheapies here. beyond her on the Fever side of thing. Victoria Vivian's at 3.2. I would expect her to likely probably start. She's been having a really solid preseason, putting up some good numbers. And then whoever ends up starting between Jessica, their new acquisitions, Jessica Breland or Jontel Lavender, both are min price at 3K. So on this team alone, you have four, you know, solid options who are under 6K that you could mix and match with. Based off the starting lineups, Lavender is probably the one I prefer if she starts, just because of what we saw from her a couple of seasons ago. She did sit out last year. Big time, you know, rebounder, solid defender, affects the game. Lauren Cox, who I really like, is going to be out for this game. She's got dealing with a knee injury, so that's a you know, her position is the same as Lavender and Breland, so that, you know, doesn't give them any competition for minutes there. And higher end, Tiara McGowan, who, you know, we always said every slate last year she was on, if she could play over 20 minutes, she's going to smash. They have her priced up at 9-1, which is a bit high for my taste right now, but we could definitely expect her to play well over 20 minutes with Lauren Cox, you know, not playing and them being a little shorthanded. Guard side of things, you've got Danielle Robinson, who's a new acquisition from the Aces, 6'5". I probably won't be using her. Tiffany Mitchell at 7'6", and then Kelsey Mitchell at 9'4". Again, if I'm using any Fever players, it's going to be whoever starts out of that cheap group, Vivian's, Breland, and Lavender. I probably wouldn't run multiple of them in one lineup, but take one and run with it. New York side of things, you're going to have to decide. You know, Ionescu, they did a great job pricing her at 10-1. She's a triple-double threat every time she steps on the court. We know in Oregon she tore it up. Her first couple of games that she played before going down with that injury last season, she was a monster. It's just, you know, sometimes coming back from an injury, maybe a rusty, you know, it's kind of tough to say with her. New York is going to be a little shorthanded. They're out some people. I do kind of like Bettinajaya Laney at 9-6 a little more than Ionescu, but the price difference, you know, you save a few hundred dollars. Maybe you go with Laney. Laney was a high usage player from the Dream last year. So I would roll probably one of them, I think, at the end of the day. With all the value we're going to unearth for you guys, you can definitely roll, you know, two or three studs at the high end of your lineup and feel pretty damn good about it. Now, for the Liberty, one player I want to zero in here, and she's priced up, so it's not like she'll be that owned, but Mikaela Anyanwiri, I'm sure I'm butchering that name, at 5-1. She is expected, you know, reading a few articles from Coach Walton and some interviews, it sounds like the number six pick may end up starting. And if she does, I think probably looking at, you know, 25, 26, 27 minutes, somewhere in there. She was, you know, a double-double machine at UCLA, All-American. So definitely something to watch there. They will be without Natasha Howard, as we just mentioned. She's on that temporary suspended list. Willoughby is hurt. Kaya Stokes, I believe, is on the temporary list. So there's a few people that are out. They're going to be somewhat shorthanded. And you also have Kylie Shook, who is 4-4, another one that I would expect to probably start. She had some games last year that, indeed, in short minutes, she looked pretty good. And she can kind of, you know, potentially do some damage with those upper tier minutes. So definitely a lot of value in this game, Pete. It's going to really come down to the starting lineups, though, you know, and deciding if you want to just go up to Ionescu, take her and a couple values from this game, and then, you know, go with some of the higher totals. Vegas seems to think this one won't be that high scoring as opposed to the other games. So maybe, I don't know, that pushes off game stacks. But definitely a lot to process here and internalize with all this news still pending.
Yeah, so I'm trying to kind of condense my player pool as we're looking in. I did see, I'm assuming, is Justin Carter a beat writer, or is this just is some guy on Twitter? Because, oh, never mind. But I'm seeing some probable Liberty lineups out. Mm-hmm. And it does have Shook in Anyanwiri and line up together, which I kind of like that. Okay. Because I think both of them are good values. I'm just not sure how legit some of these starting lineups that we're seeing are popping up on Twitter. So just be careful with that. But I kind of do like this game. No Howard, no Stokes, Odom. I mean, that's to me. To me, McCowan was we should have extra money today. To me, McCowan is almost a lock at 9-1. I just think that she should smash today, going up against like a Kylie Shook and a Nano Michaela. That's what it's called. I think. The problem all the time with McCowan was last time was her playing time. She never got a lot of minutes. Last year she started 10 games, I think, and she's faced in Slippery front court. And said that's missing a lot of people. I do like Shook and Anaway, I think. McCowan should be able to smash on these guys. And if she gets 20 minutes, which I think she's gonna, she should be able to just totally eat on them. And I just saw a stat, actually. Last year, when she did play 25 minutes, she actually averaged 25 points a game, 10.67 rebounds, and 35 fantasy points. So yep. That's pretty big number. So she should... I see you're smashing tonight. To me, that's like one of my top plays. I did mention Shook. I kind of, on the other end, I do like Shook as a play. I think she's gonna get the playing time. I saw a note that Joyner Holmes may be coming back though too, but Shook's gonna get minutes. And at 4-4 DK, 3K FanDuel, that's pretty good. And she's gonna probably be. I mean, she could end up being like an Amanda Zoe B was last year, but you know, she's just a raw talent. And then the same with Anaya Wowie. On Indiana, though, you did mention Vivian's, and I Vivian's and Kelsey Mitchell. So I like both of them. I think, yeah, but. Mitchell's 9-4 on DK, but yet 5-5 on FanDuel. But their pricing is way off each other, huh? And I'm looking at Vivian's.
Yeah, that's a good price on FanDuel, definitely.
Yeah, so if you're on FanDuel, I would think about getting Costa Lock and Kelsey Mitchell in, because I think she's gonna be the point guard. She actually became more of a scorer last year, and this is what, her fourth season, so. She had a pretty good field goal percentage last year. So I like Mitchell. And then Vivian's, if she starts, I think Vivian's will be okay as a value at 3-2. So you can almost lock Vivian as a value, especially with her being so cheap. And with Liberty being so, you know, undermanned. I think this game's going to go higher than Vegas is saying right now. Especially with New York being undermanned. I think Indiana is going to score a lot of points here. So, a couple of years ago, Vivian's was averaging like 11 points a game, 4 rebounds. So, and I think she's going to get playing time tonight. So, I like Mitchell, Vivian's, of course, McGowan. And on the other side, New York, I think Shook's pretty good value at 4-4. I ask you, I'm still like, I don't know, I'm going back and forth on I ask you is, how many is she on any kind of a time constraint? Do you know?
They said that as of now she shouldn't be. So they kind of protected her in the preseason, of course, but now for the game she's should be good to go.
So you got her at 10-1, and McGowan at 9-1. May have to make a choice on both of them. I'm just on McGowan today. Maybe more of a gut call. I just think if she gets the minutes, she gets 25 minutes, I think she's going to smash. I just think they're just too small for it right now. New York.
Yep. And that was the thing with McGowan all the time last year as mainly a GPP play, because for whatever reason, the coaching staff just would never consistently give her those minutes. But with Cox out and you know, they made their round of cuts and they're fairly shorthanded, she should definitely do damage against the Liberty team that is also shorthanded. So. Yeah, like I said at the beginning there, between Vivian's, Lavender, and Breland, I'm really just waiting to see who starts. But you've got, you know, three players there at 3-2 or below min price. Definitely get one of them in and then build from there. Next game, Connecticut versus Atlanta. It is minus 150 for Connecticut, 163.5 over under. Connecticut has, as usual, they're looking shorthanded.
Yep.
We know that Alyssa Thomas is out for the year with the injury. Jasmine Thomas has, I believe, landed on the temporary suspended list as she goes through protocols. So she's not going to be available, which is huge for, you know, a bummer for them. There's talk of Brianne January. I think she may have just cleared. Last night there was talk of her not playing, but I think now that I look into it, she's cleared, so she should play. But yeah, they're shorthanded, so you're definitely going to want somebody from the Connecticut side. Dawana Bonner is priced way up there at 10-8, but we know how the Sun like to run their rotations. They play their starters into the ground. They're especially shorthanded, so you can expect Bonner to play, you know, 38 minutes, if not the entire game. So well worth the 10-8 tag, and there's enough value to make it work. The chalk of all chalk and a lock play for me here is going to be Jonquel Jones. She's a 9-10K player ordinarily. We know from our preview stream, you guys had watched, we appreciate the support, that she sat out last season. She's not going to be rusty, though. She plays overseas. She's been, you know, she's done well over there. Only 7K. So it's way too cheap for her. There shouldn't be any minutes restrictions. It's crazy to see her at 7K. And then Brianna Jones, who I do really like, at 9-3. Typically, we get Brianna Jones at like 6, 7K. So I'm not going to be probably playing her tonight, but I still like her, especially without Thomas this season. I think Brianna Jones is going to continue to have even better numbers than last season as her career, you know, continues to go up. But yeah, Jung Jones and Dawana Bonner, I think, are two that I would feel very safe rolling my lineup around. Now, with Jasmine Thomas out, you could be looking at, you know, Kayla Charles there at 4-6. She certainly has a lot of upside. You know, she's still very young. She did shoot 41% last year. She started 7 times and out of 21 games. So she's definitely, you know, got some, you know, experience. She was a bit inconsistent, but I think she's going to, you know, continue also to, you know, grow and become a very solid player. The scrimmage that they just had on Saturday, I believe it was against the Wings, she didn't look that good. She only had like 2 points, 3 rebounds, a couple of assists, something like that. But just somebody in GPPs that's going to probably play in the starting lineup with Jasmine Thomas shelved. That could look really well. Beatrice Mom Premier, if you guys followed us last year for WNBA coverage, you know I was all about her. She starts out the season at 5'7", which typically under 6K normally will be a value range. Right now we have so cheap because of being the season and DK and FanDuel doesn't know how to price people. They don't know what their roles will be. But Beatrice Mom Premier with Alyssa Thomas out for the season is going to get a lot of run. Between her and Brianna Jones, you're looking at two players. They're probably the future of the Sun, you know, team in general. She showed a lot of flashes last season. She's very good on defense. Big time rebounder, capable of double digit rebounds when she gets the minutes. I really, really like her. So just another one maybe for GPPs to look at. The price is I just wanted to get that out there during the normal regular season, maybe, you know, a month from now when the pricing has stabilized, 5-7 is a very good value price, but we have like 3, 4, 5 different ladies that we can use that are near mint price. So keep Mom Premier in your scopes, but maybe not quite pull the trigger. Their rookie, Dijon Carrington is mint price. If she were to draw the start, that would be interesting. I probably would imagine Natisha Heidemann, who's at 4-1, draws a start. Nobody really does a whole lot for me, you know, the secondary Sun players, and this has been plaguing them for a long time where their bench just is so inconsistent. So really it's targeting Bonner at the high end of 10-8 and Jonk Jones at 7. Like I said, I don't mind rolling with a player like Charles or Heidemann or Carrington, but I just feel like there's probably a little bit more, you know, we mentioned those Indiana min price girls, or there's a few when we get to the LA Sparks that you can use. So I'd rather use some more known commodities or players who have produced at a high level in the past. On the Atlanta side, it came out yesterday that Cheyenne Parker will be out. I think it came out that she didn't get her shot, as that was optional or something, you know, for COVID. So I believe she came down with COVID is what I had found yesterday and posted. So their new acquisition that they paid this money for will be out. They did cut Shatori Walker Kimbrough in a bit of a surprising move, as a, you know, she was expected to make the roster and didn't. Tiffany Hayes, who is returning this season, she will be out for the first game as she's just not cleared quite yet. So we're not going to see – this is going to typically be a dream team that is super loaded, full, you know, not the best for DFS. We mentioned during our preview show that, you know, they'll be a little bit like Arkansas, you know, referenced in CUB when beginning of the season they just ran 12, you know, 11, 12 players. It's going to be similar to Atlanta when they're at full strength. But right now, you know, missing a few key pieces, you could definitely look at using them. You know, Kennedy Carter at 8.7 is a really nice price for her. You know, Courtney Williams at 9.8, that's kind of high. I believe on FanDuel, I don't have access to it, but you can tell us in a minute. I think she's a little cheaper on FanDuel, which she's definitely playable there. The rookie Ari McDonald is interesting at 6.6. Shakina Strickland is there at 4.4. She typically starts, but she doesn't do anything besides shoot threes. She's really mostly just like in the midseason, a desperation value play that you hope can get you 15. Don't use her today, but just a player to know that's likely going to start. And then they got Liz Will and Mo Billings to round out that starting lineup and the new acquisition of Odyssey Sim. So still a fairly deep team, even with Hayes and Parker not available for this game and the surprising cut of Walker Kimbrough. But I think if I were going to use anybody on Atlanta, for me, it'd personally be Kennedy Carter, who I really like at 8.7, or, you know, going up to Courtney Williams at 9.8, which I don't think I can justify paying that price for her. So I'm probably mostly going to be avoiding Atlanta, which is what I thought I would be doing anyways before the news yesterday about Parker being out. And I'm mostly going to be on the Connecticut side where I lock in Jonk Jones as a core play. I'm sure the industry will be on her. And then DeWanna Bonner, who, you know, is going to play 40 minutes and probably score 40-plus fantasy points tonight. So what's your plan of attack here on this game?
Yeah, I think if you're playing cash, which I guess most of us probably will be the first game, I think you got to lock in Bonner and Jones and Jimmy Ngata. I mean, if I can get Bonner and Jones and McGowan, I'd be sitting pretty. But to me, Bonner's the first person. She's expensive, but she's an absolute stud. I mean, offense, defense. Look at her. Look at those defensive peripheral stats. Great scorer. No Alyssa Thomas. She does everything. To me, she's a lock for 40 DK points. And plus, I think it's a plus matchup. So she's in Connecticut. At least it's gonna be a little bit undermanned too. So I think she's gonna get high minutes. And then John Cole Jones is just as good. Absolutely great player. She threatens 20-20 games all the time. She's a steal at 7K. She should be a 9K player to me. One thing I was looking too, that, you know, people are going to see people that aren't big WNBA players, and a lot of these people look at game logs and going to go back and look at Jonquil Jones and see nothing. So they're just going to think that doesn't DK have game logs from last year's probably. So, you know, she may not jump out. So I think you build your cash lamps around those two. On Connecticut, you did mention Natasha Hedman, right? I think Hedman kind of a role player. I mean, I don't mind the price at 41. Especially with Jasmine Thomas out. So you may see her, and you said Kayla Charles possibly starting, so maybe more of a GPP play, but I agree with you there. And on Atlanta, I was just looking at prices. I think if you're playing FanDuel, you can actually look at Ari McDonald is only 3.6 on FanDuel, yet she's 6.6 on DK. So if you're playing FanDuel, you can definitely go with McDonald. Some remember from the tournament. She had a really good tournament. I don't think I'm going to pay that much on DK, but if you're playing FanDuel, 3,600 is a pretty decent price. Well, she had this Strickland's 4.4. I mean, probably appropriately priced, but I think she's going to get a bunch of minutes, right? And probably in the 3 and 4. So I think Strickland may be okay. And then Kennedy Carter. I like Carter too, but I just don't know what's. I don't have Carter's price in front of me though, but I. Carter, I think, is obviously in playoff, so I'm not, you know, sure.
Yeah, she's a good GPP play. I think pretty much anyone on Atlanta is good for GPPs because they'll be on the lower end, and, you know, with their deep rotation, you know, it's going to be hit or miss there for a while they figure, you know, each other out. but you could definitely win a tournament with a player like Kennedy Carter, definitely.
And she's a prolific scorer. I mean, yeah, she could light it up and win somebody a GVP. So she averaged like 17, 18 points a game last year. So yeah, GVP only, but I'm definitely, to me, you want to build your lineups around Bonner and Jones and go from there. And we are seeing enough value here today where we should be able to get them. And even if you want to get, if you do like a McGowan as your third play and some of the other players we're going to see here in a second.
Yeah. I mean, there's a strong possibility of getting three upper tier studs in your lineup and Jonquel Jones, because she's only 7K. If you roll two of these min price plays, which, you know, we take advantage of these while we have them, because we typically don't get, you know, solid players like this at the 3-4K range. All right. So next game, Phoenix versus Minnesota. This one should be probably the best game of the night. In real life, -115 is Minnesota, Phoenix -105. It's 164 over under, so the highest total just by a half point. Phoenix, you know, they're on the older side. As far as experience goes, they're probably one of the more experienced teams besides, you know, maybe LA or something. We know that Griner's been in the league for 8 years. She had some personal issues, Brittany Griner, I'm talking about, and she had to miss half the season, so she's come back ready to go. They got Skylar Diggins-Smith, who played really well. Of course, Diana Taurasi, who's played in the league for 16 years. Kia Vaughn for 11. Bria Hartley for 7. So they've got a lot of experience here. I don't necessarily really like anyone on the Mercury today. No. I like their team as a whole, but price-wise, you know, it's all pretty accurate, actually. They came out strong on the Mercury. Maybe on FanDuel, which you can tell comes around a second, maybe they have some cheapies. But 10-2 for Taurasi, 9-6 for Diggins. Brianna Turner is starting out 9-5, which is too high. She's higher than Griner, which is crazy. Griner at 9-1 is interesting, but Minnesota's front court is just freaking lethal and very, I don't want to say dirty, but very aggressive. They throw, you know, their elbow in, they're jostling for position, so I don't think Griner is really in play for me at all. You know, maybe in a GPP. Normally 9-1 would be a lock and load price, but, you know, maybe she's playing the Liberty or something, I would be all over it. But I just, the Minnesota matchup kind of scares me. Jay Petty made the team, but they priced her at 5-8. I was kind of hoping Petty would be like 4K or something as a sneaky play. And then you look at the rest of their lineup, which is, you know, they don't have them all available because they signed Sierra Burdick, came back, who's not available on here, a couple others. Megan Walker at 3-1, there were some talks about her being, you know, a more viable piece this season, but nah, the Mercury is just not speaking to me right now. Kia Nurse is the one that at 8-3, maybe I would, you know, want to pay attention to. She finished the season out pretty decently last time on the court. But, yeah, they're all appropriately priced. Minnesota side of things, Collier is on the temporary suspended list. She's not going to be – I don't believe she'll make it. She was overseas just even like last week. So take her out of the equation, and that really opens some things up for Minnesota. Starting with Sylvia Fowles at 7-9. Now, she's been in the league for 14, 15 years now. Kind of getting on the slower side, still a great rim protector. So she's certainly in play at the 7-9 price tag, especially if, you know, with Collier not playing. Dontas at 9-7 is way too high. I love using Demiris Dontas usually, at like the 7K range, but that's just way too high for her. Reigning rookie of the year, Crystal Dangerfield is there at 8-5. She's certainly a solid play. The team has some good options here. Hey, Kayla McBride was the one that we're waiting to pass on protocol. She's only 7-3 and she's really cheap on FanDuel. I'm pretty certain I saw that on Twitter. So if she's all good and through her protocol, 7-3 for her is a very solid price. If she doesn't play, Rachel Banham is there at 5-5 as kind of the backup guard behind Dangerfield, certainly in play. And it'll be interesting the rest of the new pieces, like, you know, Natalie Onchanwe, who's there at 7-6. And then you look down here at the bottom and you've got Ariel Powers at just 3-2, who prior to getting injured last season, was on her way to having a big season for the Mystics. So assuming she starts, there's no minutes restrictions and all good to go. Here is yet another player at, you know, near min price at 3-2 that is close to a lock as long as she starts, especially with Collier and potentially McBride being out. Power's usage would be quite high because she is definitely trending upwards of having a breakout season. You saw it in parts of the time last year when Mystics were all banged up and she was, you know, kind of taking over. So it's hard not to be all in on a player like Ariel Powers, even more so over the Lavenders, Vivians, you know, Breelands, like we talked about on the Fever. So the games are 2-hour difference. So, you know, there's some funny business in between there and Powers can't go, or there's, you know, word that she's not going to get full minutes. We don't have the option to thus go back in time and play somebody from the Fever. So you're really going to have to make that decision, you know, ahead of time. But there's somebody on the Sparks who's near min price that we can kind of use in our utility if we have to. So we do have options. But for me, I'm really looking at the link side. Powers, of course, like I said, McBride if she plays. And I don't mind Fouls at the 7-9 price. Probably will be having to do more of a, you know, de facto studs and scrubs lineup, even though the scrubs aren't actually scrubs. They're just mispriced, which means Fouls will get, you know, left behind. But that also makes her a good GBP play because you can expect sub 10% ownership. And she still is capable of popping off for a 35-40 fantasy point game, you know, in this particular matchup. And like I said, on the Mercury, I'm pretty much off of them, except maybe a little Kia Nurse or Shea Petty exposure. But for the most part, I'm on the link side here. What do you think?
Yeah, so I just stay with Minnesota. Then, yeah, to me, Sylvia Fowles is almost a misprice too. She's 7-9 in DK and 7-6 on FanDuel, so she would Collier out. So I'm more of a DK play. Now, she's going up against Brittany Griner, but I'm assuming Fowles is healthy because when she was healthy last year, she actually played really well. So
yep.
Fowles could be in your main lineup. I do agree with this, what you're saying, the stars and stripes. I think that's how it's going to end up being if we want to get the big studs, you know, if we want to pay for the Bonners. But I think Fowles is that good of a player where she could be in the main lineup. And Ariel Powers, where Ariel Powers is a complete misplace also. You know, she's got no business being 3-2. But we do have to worry about her. She didn't play in the preseason at all. And we're going to have no idea what her minutes are going to be. So we talked about this on the preview, but right? I mean, she crushed last year before she got hurt. So yep. she's a star as long as she's healthy, ready to go. I'm going to try digging further this afternoon. It's just really WNBA is tough to get real legit news, but I think Powers almost is near a core play at that price. And if she plays just a few minutes, I mean, you're not losing a lot at 3-2. Who's somebody else?
The nice thing for Powers too is that some people who don't want to be by their phone, you know, if they're playing, they may just play the early, you know, value on Indiana. Yep. and not worry. And then if Powers does start and her ownership's lower and she, you know, has a last year Powers game, that could be a major edge again for us if most people aren't, you know, playing, you know, if some people are playing NBA or they're distracted or whatever. So her ownership could actually go lower than we think, you know, based off of news and just other sports happening at the same time.
Because if she plays, she's going to score.
Oh yeah.
I mean, she's a big time player. So, and then on the other side, I guess you look at, you can look at Brianna Turner as being kind of mispriced on FanDuel. So
what is she on FanDuel?
I think Turner's, I knew you were just going to ask it. I just had it up here in front of me. Now I just lost it.
Because she's way out of range on DK at 9.5. And I bet on FanDuel she's like 5 or 6, right?
Yeah, I'll have it up here. She's, and I just, I had a note of her being a misprice here on FanDuel. So she's 4-7 on FanDuel. So this is a player that was averaging 10 rebounds a game, right? So good. I mean, a good player. You do have Brittany Griner there now too, but I still think that she's going to be able to give you 8 points, you know what I mean, a couple blocks.
Kia Vaughn, who has been in the league forever but kind of emerged last year with Griner out, she's on the partial suspended list. So Vaughn, those minutes will go to Turner too. So she should still be on the floor even with Griner, you would think, because of their lack of size. So definitely like the Vandal price on her sub five. That's great.
So Vandal, Brianna Turner, DK, Ariel Powers, and I like Sylvia Fowles, obviously, on both, I believe. What's Fowles on FanDuel is 7-6. So, obviously, a little bit better price on DK. She's a little bit high on FanDuel with everybody else. But she's another, Fowles is another double-double threat. So, that's who I like. I mean, I like Skylar Diggins-Smith a lot. And I think she's going to be a really good player. But, more like a, she's not ready for, cash games and all that kind of stuff. But I do like Diggins-Smith. I just think playing with Taurasi is going to really help her out a lot this year.
Yeah. And inevitably, the Mercury, with as much miles as they have on their legs and stuff, there'll be some midseason injuries. And, so Diggins-Smith will be turning into a big time, 30 plus fantasy point game for scorer, and she already has been that, but she'll have to play a lot of minutes as they maybe even try to go the Spurs route and rest Taurasi at certain times, rest Griner, rest Vaughn. So it'll be interesting to follow the Mercury because they are one of the older teams that they've got to probably manage their minutes more than most, despite not having a deep roster.
Kia Nurse is only 3-8 on FanDuel. She's going to get minutes, but.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's real cheap. I thought she's in play on DraftKings too at the 8-3 tag because Hartley's out, but that's really in play on FanDuel. Yeah, that's nuts.
And then I didn't mention Rachel Barnum also, I think, is a decent. She is 3,000 on FanDuel, 5,500 on DK.
Yeah, if McBride ends up not playing, I think Barnum's definitely in play. If McBride plays, then I probably can't use her.
Yeah, so we don't know about McBride yet, right? So she's over. Yeah,
she was in the COVID protocols. And then Minnesota had released Lene Harper and then re-signed her because they got to use their exemption. There's a hardship exemption where if you go under the 12 allotted roster spots but you don't have the salary to sign another one, they allow you to kind of do like a free sign, I guess. So Lene Harper is actually going to be available to play at 3K on DraftKings. So if McBride route or their emergency, you have her as a play.
So I just found a comment. Now it's exactly a week ago, but it does kind of come into play with Ariel Powers. So Cheryl Reeves said they're talking about the preseason game on last Saturday, and then somebody was asking about Ariel Powers, and she said her conditioning is coming along, but that she doesn't need her for tomorrow. She needs her ready for regular season. So does that mean you're ready for today? I mean, or just like as we get moving on in regular season? I just think I'm playing Powers unless I hear something different.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. Like I said, if I'm going to keep the spot open. If she starts, cool, I'm good to go. If she doesn't, then there is a player in this next game we'll talk about that we can swap to. Looking at the Lynx, though, normally – looks like they'll be a deep team overall when they're healthy. Their roster of available players right now for this game, it looks to be 8-9 with Harper. Renia Davis, their rookie, is hurt. McBride's still in quarantine, so she's not officially, there. And then Nafisa Collier is still overseas. So this Lynx roster is definitely one to target. Powers is probably – I don't know. They rested her the whole preseason. They may just unleash her now because they're going to need her. Yep. I can see this being, and then for GPPs, maybe even main lineup, we always played last year Crystal Dangerfield, and the field didn't, and she would always reward us with, 28, 30, 35. So I could see rolling with Dangerfield, too, if they end up being shorthanded and having 7, 8 players available. All right.
Even more breaking news I just saw on Twitter. Kat Jennings and Andrew WK are engaged. All right, move on.
Nice. Andrew WK. Haven't heard that name in a while. All right, so Dallas versus LA rounds out the slate. Typically, we're going to be looking at there'll be a showdown a week, a one-game slate, and then there'll be two gamers, and it's normally going to be three gamers. So really hit this one. It's a four-game slate. you know, we'll have some roster uniqueness from the field. So definitely won't normally see these four gamers, but we do have it today. So let's attack. LA minus 210 against the Dallas Wings. Total is 163. So you see these last three games are right around the same totals. Indiana, New York's the only one that's about 6 points less. LA loaded when they're healthy. Dallas has a big roster as well. Now, starting with Dallas, Satu Sabali, the Oregon star from last season, she is on the temporary suspended list because of COVID and coming back from overseas, so she will not be available today. One of the rookies they drafted, Awat Kaur from Finland, she is not available. She's on the suspended list because of overseas as well. So those two are not in play. And then you look at Maureen Mabry, who has been playing overseas. She's back, cleared all her COVID stuff, but she didn't play in the last preseason game. Got some sort of injury, so she's questionable. And as I looked last night for injury information on her, there's actually like next to nothing. There's actually plugged in WNBA writers, like this is what they do day in and day out, that are asking Twitter, hey, what's up with Mabry? So it's a bit of a mystery what is happening with her, so we will have to monitor that. Reason being, if she misses, it really makes players, you know, that people are probably going to sleep on really interesting. You know, I'm a really big fan of Chelsea Dungy from Arkansas. They did price her at 5-1, which is a little disappointing. Yeah. I hope to see her cheaper.
I like that.
If she were to start, though, she'd be a fantastic play. Last season, Bella Elleria, she at 4-6, she's a big play. She's somebody who has a lot of upside. She did very well overseas. If she gets her you know, moment to shine, she's definitely a player who could do well. Dana Evans at 3K, there's been a lot of hype about her. Tyasha Harris, there's a lot of people talking about her out of the Dallas camp that, you know, she's next up to play well. She's only 5'9". Of course, their number one overall pick, Charlie Collier, at 6K. And then, you know, you've got the Alicia Gray, Kayla Thorntons, who really don't do much for me. They're good players, but I typically don't mess with them. They don't consistently hit ceilings. Those prices on them are a bit high. And then the decision comes, do you want to play RK, Ogunbowale, at 10-7? You know, if with Sabali out, that's usage that she won't have to share. If Mabry is, you know, whatever this mystery element is, if she's out, that's another bunch of usage. So we could see RK be like last year's RK. There's talk with this coaching staff this season of getting her, you know, less shots and more assists, you know, initiating the offense and not being quite as, you know, I don't want to say ball hog because that's got a negative connotation to it, but, you know, less ball dominant and getting the others involved because they do have a deep team now when they're at full strength. Dungy is a lot like her, obviously, to a lesser degree. So it'll be interesting to see how Chelsea and RK play together, especially right away. But I think with the value that we have, if you wanted to go like RK, Bonner, Jonk, and a couple, you know, Min Pricer, and then whatever's left, that's a viable lineup because we know she's going to take a ton of shots. They're going to be playing LA. LA has a bunch of firepower, and RK is going to have to score to keep them in it. The only issue I usually have with her is that her other stats typically are lacking. You know, the rebound, she averaged less than 3 rebounds, averaged less than 4 assists, and she's averaging over 30 fantasy points, being mostly a scorer. So we typically don't, unless your name's Cam Thomas from LSU, my boy, you know, we typically don't like to just be on scorers only. But she's such a high-level scorer that it's hard not to be intrigued. It's just they did a very nice job of pricing her up to make you really think about it. So as of right now, I'm leaning towards not rostering her on my main lineup. But I'm poking around the industry and talking to some people who do play WNBA or just, you know, reading things. It sounds like a lot are going to be on her. So we may see some big ownership on her, especially if we see Mabry out. So keep that in mind if you plan on fading her. You might be staring at a high ownership in your double ups. For LA, came out last night that Amanda Zowie B will not be playing. She's got a back issue. That is an injury, I believe, that flared up on her several times last year. We are still waiting for confirmation that Chinee Agumike will be playing. She's only 7K, the sister of Nneka. I think she will, so that's a good price for her. Taya Cooper's there at 5-4. She probably won't start because Christy Tolliver, who came over, she opted out last year, but came over from the championship winning Mystics team from 2 years ago at 6-8. Probably running the point. They did trade Sydney Weiss yesterday, who was a starter for them last year, so that is kind of big because that opens up things. And they also released one of their power forwards, Christina Nigue, so that'll open up everything else for, you know, all these forwards that they had. I do really like Brittany Sykes at 6'7". They paid her money to bring her back. You know, she came over from the Dream originally last year, and she was a very big player for them. One of the better and most underrated on-ball defenders in the league, big time. Like, she gets a lot of steals. She forces turnovers. I do like Sykes at 6'7". I don't see her being very heavily owned. And like I said, the Sparks threw some money at her, so they're going to play her. And the fact that they shipped Weiss out of here, and that their draft pick from the first round, was it Stephanie Watts? They shipped her out of there to Chicago Sky. So they want Sykes to play. And I think Taya Cooper, who showed flashes as a rookie last year, is definitely going to get minutes too. I think that Tolliver is going to be there as guidance, more of a mentor role, where she'll probably start. But I don't think Tolliver's going to be putting up the stats, where she'll be more, you know, training Cooper on how to be a point guard and getting Sykes good shots. So I like them. I was really happy to see that Arila Garantes made the team for LA. She's there at 3-4, the Rutgers player. She was projected to be a lotto pick, and she ended up falling into the second round. So she has a chip on her shoulder, and if she were to get minutes, she would be a kind of a sneaky GPP play. And then there's a lot of talk about Jasmine Walker, who they drafted there at 4K, being a dark horse rookie of the year, you know, depending on what her role slides into. It's nice that, you know, they got rid of Enigwe to open up minutes. You know, Shanae is probably going to play some three. Zowie B's kind of banged up. So Nneka did say Walker was one of the most aggressive and gifted rookies that she had played with in a very long time. So she's got Nneka on her side. So definitely keep an eye on Jasmine Walker there at 4K. And then the player that I kept referencing as we could swap from Powers to is Erica Wheeler, there at 3-2. She came over from she opted out last year, but she came over from the Fever. She was a big-time scorer for the Fever. She was an All-Star Game MVP a couple of years ago. So definitely a player that I'm going to be invested in if she plays. I don't know that I'll start with her, but you have her. You have the three on the Fever we mentioned, you know, Vivian's, Lavender, and Breland, and then you have Ariel Power. So you have five players all under 4K that, on ordinary circumstances, would be a very damn good, you know, starting five in your DFS lineup. So we don't typically get this kind of value. So that's big time. So keep an eye out for the news. We'll post it. Like I said, I'll keep on harping on, because it's going to be a big deal. But Erica Wheeler, coming into her sixth season, is definitely somebody to consider at 3-2. The only issue is the Sparks are really deep at the guard position, so I do have concerns about her minutes as opposed to, you know, some of the other options. And like I said, I'm a very big Brittany Sykes fan, so I may want to see a couple games first to really, before I play Sykes and some of these others. But at 3-2, Wheeler doesn't have to do a whole lot, and she was a 20 plus fantasy point per game scorer. So if we use her at 3-2 and she gives us anything, you know, close to 20, which you should with full minutes, that's going to be a, you know, a really easy play. So a lot in play here in terms of value. You can easily fit the top end options and run two of the min price girls, Bonner, RK if you wanted to, and maybe even Ionescu. You know, I haven't tried to make a lineup yet, but looking at it, that's very possible to do. I would just say Jonk Jones is somebody that you have to fit in there as well at 7K.
Yeah.
So don't forget about her if you go three, probably two. Two of the Bonner, RK, Ionescu group, and then Jonk, and then a couple of values. That's probably what will end up being the more common build that we see, making players like Laney, Courtney Williams, your girl Diggins Smith, Nneka even, McGowan, you know, some of these girls who are in that 9K range, lower owned. So maybe living in that 9K range is the correct play after all. So Dallas and LA, the hammer game, news, you know, with the starting lineups for those two are going to be very especially important. So what's your plan here? Are you going to save yourself a couple spots for this game, play it safe? What do you think?
Yeah, I think you have to. So especially if we know Eric Wheeler's, I mean, once again, we're dealing with Derek Fisher here, but once we know she's starting, that's way too cheap. Yep. I mean, you can get a lot. Now, remember, she was an All-Star that's like 2 years ago. So it's not like,
yep, she was the All-Star game MVP.
Yeah, so it's not like, you know, she's somebody that's just, you know, has been. So 3-2 DK, 5, and FanDuel wouldn't be touching her. She's 5-2. And DK definitely, you can get a lot playing like her and Ariel Powers in your main lineup. Beside her, yes, I do want some of these sparks because I like Jasmine Walker a lot, and she had a really good preseason, and she's banging from. I'm seeing stats. She was 7 for 11 from 3 point. I'm looking at a tweet. 7 for 11 from the 3 point range. 23 points, 9 rebounds. So, not bad. I'm assuming she's gonna be in the three or four. What's her price? 4K and FanDuel. So yeah, probably more of a GPP play, but I think in play. And I like Tolliver. Yeah, Christy Tolliver. I like Christy Tolliver too. And that should be price 6'8". Yeah, no, she's definitely. Yeah, she's 6'8" on DK, 6'2" on FanDuel. So once again, better price on DK than FanDuel. I wouldn't be playing her on FanDuel, no. But she's, I can see her getting 16 points. I think she actually has a decent matchup today against Dallas. And remember, Dallas is not a very good defense. So, and the one player, and I'm not touching too much Dallas, but I do like Nika. I mean, just former MVP. She doesn't have to deal with Candace Parker, Chelsea Gray. To me, she's now the show, and I think everything's going to go through Nika. So, and the best part about Nika is her price is 6'8". You're not big on Nika? I mean, compared to, I just think that price is really good. 6'8".
Oh yeah, I think she's a good, absolutely a good play. 9'2". That's probably going to end up being cheap for her now with Candace Parker out.
That's right. Got FanDuel still pulled up,
but Yeah. So she's in play, but I think that's probably about her price.
Yeah.
To be, I don't, with it, how deep the sparks are, I don't know if she'll ever return to being that super dominant low post take the game over. She certainly can when she needs to, but I think the sparks may end up just being a more balanced team. You had mentioned Fisher. Who knows what he'll do? He does a lot of weird things. He'll probably end up starting like Nia Coffey or something. I don't know. I definitely like her. I think she's a fine GPP play. She's definitely got upside, but it'll be interesting to see what the ultimate rotation shakes out with when Zowie B gets healthy and they figure out all this other stuff. Maria Vidiva, another big for them. They put on the suspension list because of overseas to clear out some space. The Jasmine Walker, I'm really interested in her. And you had mentioned liking Tolliver. Definitely don't hate it. I just, like I said, I feel like she's going to be more of a player coach role, mentor. Like, I just don't know if I'll see her putting up a bunch of stats. As opposed to being a coach. During the preseason when Wheeler had some struggles, I was watching some clips. She was coaching her up, putting her arm around her, all that. So a good player to have on your team. But as far as DFS options go for the Sparks, I think there is potential here for several to be landmines just because of how deep they're ultimately going to be.
Yep.
And like you said, because of who their coach is. Because Fisher does a lot of weird stuff.
All right, so who we did just go through a lot of names. A lot of value, and I'm probably going to need this help also. Who are we looking at right now as cash plays, main lineups? Who's your, must play two values, two regular plays? Just so we can kind of sum it up for these guys.
So as far as I guess I'll just say like a core here. Jonquel
Powers
Jonquel Jones is going to be a core. And then probably DeJuana Bonner. So that would be my top pay up. And then as far as values go, I'll say the five names again to beat it into your guys' brain. Those that are listening live: Erica Wheeler, Ariel Powers, Jontel Lavender, Jessica Breland, and then Victoria Vivians. Those are the five that are under 4K that you definitely want to consider. You're going to want to roll two of those five in your main lineup along with Jonk. So that kind of gives you your baseline, and then depends on if you want to go for another pay up or not. So that's pretty much the core group to pull from initially for your main. Not all of them, but pull two out of that group of five and then run them with Jonk. And as far as my top pay up, it's Bonner. So who's your top pay up and value?
Yeah, so we're pretty much on the same page with JJ, Bonner, Wheeler, Powers, and to me, I'm going to McGowan.
Yeah, yep. So that's good. So basically, somebody's going to be on the, I believe, on the lower own, you know, but high upside. Pete's going with McGowan, who's a nice, probably ends up being a sneaky play. And then I kind of like, with the news of New York being so shorthanded, Ben Najaya Laney at 9-6. She's probably going to go up to Ionescu if they use anyone on the Liberty. Mm-hmm. So Laney should be a little bit on the lower own side. And I think her upside, while it's not as high as Ionescu because Ionescu adds those assists and rebounds, Laney's capable of scoring 30 real points. So that's my sneak, I guess, is Laney. Sounds like McGowan's yours.
I like that Laney call too. I honestly haven't given Laney a lot of thought, but I think I like Laney over Ionescu too. That's a good call.
Yeah. So that pretty much wraps it up, guys. We'll be posting. So since it's Freebie Friday, there's going to be the article itself will be free. So you got those that aren't subs yet can see what we're about. We'll be posting starter news, you know, breaking news in the WNBA room of our Discord. When we switch that to full premium, we'll be doing like play-by-plays and in general talk in the WNBA room. But when we post starters or breaking news, that will be for the subs in the premium room. So just letting you guys know that. And then also, it's back for Prize Picks time. So WNBA does have some Prize Picks action going on here. We did pretty, you know, successful with that. And then they do have the single stats for them too. So right now it's just points. But I'm just going to pull that up real quick, give you guys, you know, maybe one or two that I really like. They did a good job. But I like Ben Najaya Laney for New York, 28.1 fantasy points. I like the over for that. And then on the single points, I like Jonquel Jones over 14.5 real points. Those are the two that I probably like the best. Not sure if you're able to pull that up at all, Pete, but if so, is there any that you like there? Tolliver under single 12 points. I like that too because I don't believe Tolliver will be asked to score.
I don't have it pulled up. But wasn't that last year? It was either Prize Picks or Monkey Knife Fight, or actually they're limiting some of the plays. You can only do like $100 a slate or something. If I remember right, so we Prize Picks could be a little source of extra income this year if you hit it right. But I got a feeling it's gonna be more toward like the college football and college basketball, which you definitely rocked all fall. I think WNBA is gonna be kind of like that too, because man, we're seeing some really tight NBA, NHL, you know, MLB Prize Picks. But I think where you can make the money on these is these smaller sports, and I think WNBA may be one of them. And right away, I'm seeing McGowan. I like actually over 10.5 points. I would take her over. So there's
nice. Yeah,
I'm already seeing a couple that are not McGowan. Better come through here for me today.
Definitely. All right, and you'll see like Nafisa Collier's on there, but if you try to use her, it just cancels out. So don't try it. You might think you're being tricky by taking the under on that, but since he's not playing, they'll just remove it. So yeah. I'll post the article here in the next hour or two, basically just kind of recapping and reiterating what we said here. Pete, I appreciate it. You've got a baseball show later, yeah?
Yeah, or tonight. Okay. Is that Freebie Friday where we're giving away a free month subscription, and that's 6 p.m. We got a big slate tonight, so yeah, 6 p.m. tonight.
Cool. That's it. Appreciate it. So yeah, this slate we should definitely be able to dominate. We'll have article up for tomorrow as well, and perhaps we'll check with Pete and see maybe we can get back on and do another live before lock show on Saturday. I know Saturdays get crazy though. And just keep grinding away, everybody. This is definitely, I love to see the excitement in the Discord about WNBA. It's a fun sport to grind, and there's going to be 10 times the edge that there was last year with this news of Osmo not carrying it. So I appreciate you joining me, Pete, and let's kick some ass, win some money, and see you guys later.
All right. Thanks, guys. Good luck.
Take care.